We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, good morning, Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, all things legal, a wonderful and beautiful happy Easter. And we got my wife and law partner and glue to the family who is running around making Easter preparations and doing a radio show at the same time. Michelle, thank you for, thank you for today.
You're welcome.
You're like, you know, who is that figure that the little lady with 10 arms who runs around?
I don't know if I feel like that sometimes.
It's getting ready. So we've got crawfish being delivered and all in the midst of this. So happy Easter. You know, like for the Christian religion, Easter's the biggie.
Easter is the biggie.
I mean, Christmas is big, but Easter's big.
Yeah, Easter's a little bigger.
That's number one there. So, you know, most of those, the other religions, the difference is, and I'm just talking theologically.
Okay.
That most of the other prophets in other religions stay in the ground.
They do stay. I think my
they don't get out. All of them. So that's the difference. You know, I'm not going to get into, you know, people. So most people are going to church this morning, or
I think so, or watching online.
Yeah. So they, you know, they're okay with me saying that.
Yeah.
So and so happy Easter. It's a beautiful day. Oh man, it's beautiful.
It
so
is,
as
the
we're looking
nice.
Out, as we're looking out our. Window in suburban Mandeville.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are. So, but we'll talk. I'll talk a little bit about continuing tutorships.
Okay.
A little later, but we have to do sports, and you know, when we were out, we do our little workout, and I had the LSU game on, and you know, when you're working out, you got your earphones on.
I do.
And you'll hear me go off. Like, sort of talk to myself, right?
All the time. All the time.
I was just, you know, LSU had lost yesterday again, 5-4.
Well, we saw them Thursday night.
Yeah, we went Thursday night, and they lost 13-1.
Somehow it's not quite so bad when you have a fountain drink, popcorn, and you're there.
Well, just because we hadn't been there.
Yeah.
Because of the COVID.
Because of the COVID.
And so... But that was, I mean, it was good to be there. But
it was great to be there.
But that game, they only played the fight song once.
I know.
And Baton Rouge Calling once, which tells you.
At the end,
which tells you it wasn't a very good game. No. It was 13-1. They had Tracy Rocker, who was pitching.
He was phenomenal.
His father was All-American, defensive end at Auburn, and played in the NFL.
He's a big kid.
Oh, he's like 6'6", 270 pounds. And he basically threw I think for six innings, almost a no-hitter, one or two hits. And then they had, the next night, Al Leiter's son, who pitched.
Right.
Who again pitched, did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game.
I know. It was like watching the first one.
I don't know how much I watched the first one either.
Yeah,
we were
right.
Yakking
you were talking. But that's a good part about baseball. You can go to the game, you can talk, you can miss an inning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a football game. It's like, shh, be quiet, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, so intense. Even basketball, too, except for the timeouts. But baseball's got a nice little rhythm to it. You know, it's got 4 or 5 minutes of action spread out into 3 hours.
That's right.
But so Al Leiter's son, who he threw flawlessly. I mean, that's the best 2-1-2 punch in baseball. And yesterday they did well. 5-4, they had the tying run. At third base, the game ended. They had the winning run at first, and they just don't know how to win.
I mean, well, they, you know, Vanderbilt's the best team.
They're number one, but Tennessee, Mississippi State, they could be if they've lost four games, extra innings, winning runs on, you know, winning tying runs on base. But here's some statistics for LSU this year. There's 14 SEC teams, and you don't have to be a baseball aficionado to know this, to figure this out, that they're 13th in hitting. They're batting about 200, which is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you should be, as a team, at least 250. They're 11th in pitching. So if you're 13th in batting and 11th in pitching.
You're not doing too well.
No. And they're 7th in fielding. Also,
are they just a young team?
They just lost confidence. Huh. I think that they, right now, at this point in the season, they have lost confidence.
Gotcha.
Now, they struggled back a little bit to, you know, yesterday. I mean, they fought hard yesterday. But they just look like a team that's just lost, you know, they just lost confidence. Confidence is so important. Especially in college.
Yep.
And, you know, they're 1-8. They play 30 SEC games. So in order to get into the tournament, they had to win at least 14. So I would say they would have to win 13 of their next 21 games to have a shot.
Is it doable?
It's going to be tough. We planned our vacation during a College World Series, so that tells you what I think.
Oh, we just did?
Yeah, we just did. I'll tell you that. I usually try to keep it open just in case I want to shoot up the open hall.
Was that why we had that week open?
That's why we had the week open. So we, it's anything can happen. They did that. They had a couple of years ago. They had the rally possum. Mm-hmm. They were sort of in a slump, and the possum ran out of the field, and everything turned around.
Right.
And they went on a tear. So, you know, maybe we can.
If we have another rally possum, are we missing our vacation?
Possibly. No, we already put the deposit down. And then they had, maybe a rally nutria or something could run on the field.
You never know.
So we'll see. I love LSU baseball.
I know.
That's second for basketball, passionate. But LSU baseball is great. It's got some amateurism still in it. So there you go there. I'm not going to talk about the Pelicans again this week.
Okay.
Because they're hurt.
I know.
Josh Hart's out. And, you know, they need to get this team together in the next 2 years because if they want to keep Zion.
I know. I was thinking about that.
Because you don't want an Anthony Davis and Chris Paul type of situation again. Mm-hmm. Oh, Baron Davis. Well, good riddance to Baron. But so also the talk with the Saints.
Oh, what is the talk? I haven't.
Well, you know, Matt, with the quarterback now in the draft, they were talking about Mac Jones because they thought he might fall. He's quarterback for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Fall to 27.
Mm-hmm.
But Mac started tearing it up.
Really?
No, he is. So I don't think he's not going to be there at 27. He might not be there in the top three or five.
Hmm.
So they're looking at who else.
And they make those decisions based upon the combine or where
they are. Yeah, the combine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the combine. Well, now they don't have a combine this year.
Where were we watching on TV the other day? They were doing
Pro Day.
Oh.
What they used to do, they had the combine. Like when I was doing it, they had the combine in Indianapolis, and that, they were just sort of starting that. And then they would have it was sort of a different day that you would have scouts that would come around, and you'd have to work your player out seven or eight times during the year. Mm-hmm. You know, you'd have Kansas City Chiefs coming in to Tulane, LSU, and Nicholls State. But now what they do is they'll have a pro day where
they stay and all the coaches.
They'll set it up, and all the scouts will come in on a particular day and sort of observe. Now, LSU can do that. Some of the smaller schools can't do that. But so they had their pro day.
Hmm.
And Alabama had its pro day also. So, and Mac Jones is looking like someone who – he only started for a year at Alabama, but he's moving up as the short version. So LSU's possibly looking at an alternative is Kyle the rumor is, we don't know, because only they know what's going on in the draft rooms. Kyle Trask from Florida.
Oh, okay.
Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Good quarterback.
Where's Trevor Lawrence going? Is he first?
Yeah, he could be going to Jacksonville.
Is that where
Urban Meyer is?
Yeah, who's the kid number 7 from LSU?
No, he's at Tampa, Fournette.
They cut him.
Huh.
But he went to Jacksonville first.
Yeah, he went to Jacksonville first. So that's the Saints news. And I showed you the game. We were watching the game.
Know.
You were watching your mini
Victoria.
Your series, which is okay. I like that. Mm-hmm. But they had the I was watching on the iPad.
I watched the Gonzaga
game. And that's probably going to go down as one of the greatest
basketball
games in the history of the Final Four. One of the great ones.
UCLA, though.
Well, UCLA had to play in the first four to get in.
How heartbreaking.
It is. They played their heart out because they were 11th seed,
right.
which was, you know, I think when LSU made the Final Four in 86, they were 11th seed.
But weren't they getting ready to win?
Well, they tied 90-90.
Okay.
And it tied up with 3.3 seconds. And this, I tell you what, if you want to watch basketball, the way it's supposed to be played is Gonzaga. And also Baylor. Baylor's playing in the finals. These are talented players who play like teams.
Right.
LSU has talented players that play individually.
Right.
And that's why they got knocked out. These two teams play as a team. Now, so you had Jalen Suggs hit a 35-foot bank shot. At the buzzer. He took the ball. They took the ball down, crossed midcourt, and let it fly.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic game. And the coach for it, now that Baylor has a lot of Louisiana ties. So I'll go through this with you.
Okay.
Baylor has they got Jared Butler, who's their guard, who's their star guard. He's from Riverside Academy.
Oh, okay.
Who's coached by Timmy Bird.
And I don't know Timmy Bird.
I know. You remember at the volleyball game, Riverside,
mm-hmm.
he played. I went and talked to the coach, the athletic director. That was Timmy Bird.
Okay.
He played at LSU's quarterback, and then he went to USM.
Yeah.
And great, great athlete. And he coached Jared Butler over at Riverside, who's good friends, and he's good friends with the Baylor coach, who's Scott Drew. Scott Drew's father, Homer Drew, was an assistant coach for LSU from 1972 to 1976 under Coach Dale Brown when he first took over LSU. And then he went and coached at Valparaiso.
How do you know
that? Now, also Scott Drew's brother is Bryce Drew, who was an original New Orleans Hornet when they relocated to New Orleans.
Are we having a quiz on this afterwards?
No, I just letting you. Head full of useless knowledge. I'm giving you background on the Final Four. So there you go. And then if you even want to hear more, Coach Brown's grandson, Coach, was a grad assistant at Baylor 2 years ago.
Hmm. Where is he now?
I think he's at Grand Valley State, if I'm not mistaken. Well, we met the family at the Sugar Bowl.
We did.
So, that's Robin Pruden, Robin Brown Pruden,
right.
who's Coach Brown's daughter. We met their three sons,
right.
And well, two of them, because he was coaching. He was coaching Baylor. He wasn't there. So there you go. So that's the lineup. It's going to be a great game. You got two basketball teams.
Wait, is it today?
It's tomorrow night.
Okay.
They play basketball like it's supposed to. They're super talented. They share the ball. They play defense. It's like watching a ballet.
Yeah, I do like that.
And you know, unlike the one-on-one, take it down. Mm-hmm. It's my turn kind of basketball. It'll get you there. It's not going to get you to the Final Four. So it's going to be great. I think it's going to be one of the great matchups. Gonzaga is undefeated. And I don't think any team has won the NCAA undefeated since Indiana in 1976. You remember that one?
Oh, no, I don't.
You know, with Scott May and, you don't remember that group? Kent Benson?
All right.
All right. Your head's about to blow up. I got the sports out the way. Huh? Some people listen to it because of that.
I love your head full of useless
knowledge. No, they like the sports.
I know, they do.
If we read from the Civil Code, nobody'd listen to
us.
I
hear you.
You know, it's okay. Article 1.
I'm not saying anything. I think you did a great job.
I know. Some people give me a hard time about it. But, all right. Well, we'll talk sport. We'll talk law after this.
Okay.
I don't know if I hear a cat or the music in the background, or maybe
both.
So it means to go to a break. Doug Sinceri, Michelle Demmer, Sinceri, all things legal. We'll be right back after this brief time out. Hey, we're back. Doug Sinceri, Michelle Demmer, Sinceri, all things legal. Happy and joyful Easter.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Resurrection Day. Our man didn't stay in the ground.
He did not stay in the ground.
All right. Let's go to phone lines with Justin. Hey, Justin, you on? Happy Easter. And Justin, just in case, is the official beneficiary at the Nico and Sinceri irrevocable unfunded trust. Unfunded trust.
You're always going to give me a hard time about that, are you, Doug?
Yes.
Don't you feel honored?
Yes.
Hi, Michelle and Doug. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I have a real law question, but I'm going to give you a joke law question before that.
Yeah. What you got?
If the Easter Bunny sends me a basket full of candy and I get cavities, can I send him the bill for my dental work?
In California, yes. In California, yes. Absolutely. In fact, you know that I will tell you this. We don't have kids in the house anymore, but the Easter Bunny stopped by because he likes to talk politics and law with me. And he was telling me that California would not let him in unless he was double masked.
Oh my God. You got to be kidding.
Also, he said that he wanted to make sure, they wanted to make sure that the eggs were boiled humanely and organic paint was used. It was true. Now, one thing he did say, okay, this is true. He did say he had no problem getting in from the Mexican border.
He said
that was easy. In fact, he said there's some people willing to help him to get through. And then
they put him up in a hotel and everything.
Also, when he crossed, when they did turn him away in California because he didn't wear a double mask, they did give him a voter registration card.
Oh, my God. You're too much, Doug. You know, I drew an Easter cartoon the other day about the Easter bunny carrying a basket waiting for the eggs, and the hen is on the nest, and the hen's like, what are you waiting for?
That's right.
Anyway, I don't take about much more of your time, but it's really good to talk to you. My real question is that I have a neighbor, and she has cordoned off the street side, the ground between the street and the sidewalk. She thinks it's her property. She doesn't want people walking on it. Is that legal?
The sidewalk?
She's
cordoning off not the sidewalk, but the ground, the grass between the sidewalk and the street, which belongs to the city, not her.
It's the city.
Can she do that?
She's not supposed to. She's not supposed to. I mean, she doesn't have – I'll put it to you this way. She doesn't have the legal authority to do so.
Well, it's highly unlikely that someone's going to come by and arrest her for doing this. But we were having a conversation about that the other day. And I said, you know, that property doesn't belong to you. Now, you put the cones – she has like four orange cones with a rope. If she put it on her grass on her property, she could do that. But she's on the street side, and I don't think that's legal.
I don't think she can't do it. So, I mean,
she legally can't do it.
Yeah, technically you could take it down and there's nothing she could do.
Well, I'm not going to touch it. I'm not going to report her. But we were having an argument the other day. And I said, you know, my dad was a lawyer and I think what you're doing is not right. You can't do it. But she's going to do it anyway. I'm not going to report her.
Why does she want to do it? What'd she say?
You wouldn't believe this.
I believe it.
She doesn't like dogs pooping in her yard. Can you believe that? She's that neurotic. She doesn't want a dog on her yard. Now that's fine, but a dog can come on the street, city property, and do all the business they want.
Right. Well, they can.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, the number two is good for the grass, isn't it?
That's what I said. It's good fertilizer. Absolutely.
The poop.
Great.
So they hold up two paws and they say, I'm.
Well, I want to get off the phone so I know other people call, but love to you and your families and Abby. Have a happy Easter, and it's a beautiful day outside, so go enjoy it.
All right. Happy Easter, Justin. Good to hear from me. Justin, the official beneficiary of the unfunded trust of Nico and Sinceri Law Firm. There you go. Unfunded means means no money in it.
No money.
It's just broke. A title.
It's just a title.
It's broke. There you go. Thanks. Happy Easter, Justin. I guess we'll talk about a little bit about trust. I didn't tell you about a conversation with the Easter Bunny.
That's pretty funny. I'm sorry I missed it.
I get some water. He likes to stop. You know, people like to stop by talking.
Talk law and politics. Knocking on the door all the time.
So he had a hard time, but he had some other issues, but I'll save it for another show. He's just a little distressed about what's going on in the United States.
I imagine and, so.
You know, but anyway.
He didn't have any other conversations with you?
We did, but I can't talk about it on radio.
Oh.
He's, you know, he's a little hot about a few things. Yeah. But anyway, they, you know, they were, anyway, he's, but he's okay. He'll be back next year.
Okay.
So let's see. You know, we wanted to talk a little bit how we transitioned from, you know, LSU baseball, a, Easter Bunny to continuing tutorships. So I guess we get in the law part.
I think
we're
getting law part, yeah.
So, but one, you know, one of the interesting things is you have a lot of kids, and I don't know why, a lot of young people with ADHD, autism, neurological issues.
Right.
You know, if you go to a lot, you know, one of the reasons people come to St. Tammany is because they have such a wonderful alternate education program.
Right. For,
public school system for students with special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that a lot of people don't know who have children or grandchildren is that if they're unable to make decisions for themselves or they have some impairment, when they become 18, they become adults.
Right.
And when you become adults, it means your parents can't assist in technically medical decisions, can't act on their behalf.
Right.
And so there's a procedure in law that provides that if you have a child who has or grandchild who has a special need or some type of disability, that you could get something called a continuing tutorship.
Right.
So what is a continuing tutorship?
Continuing tutorship essentially is a judgment by the court that the person, even though they've turned 18 and are essentially majors, they never reach legal majority. So you have a parent or a guardian who can still make decisions for them.
And, you know, that comes into play as far as, like, if you go to the doctor's office.
Right. And I think what happens is a lot of times these kids and their parents, they have the same doctor. So when they turn 18, sometimes the doctor doesn't change his or her procedure because they're familiar with the parent, even though by HIPAA law they're required to. And then if they go to another doctor, or let's say they have to change, and then all of a sudden this child's over 18, mm-hmm. they go to a new doctor, then they're used to just being the voice of their child. And all of a sudden this doctor says, wait, this child is, you know, he's 18. I can't really talk with you about his or her medical condition unless there's a tutorship proceeding.
Now, let's say had someone who had, you know, severe autism, who has a lot of difficulty in communicating,
mm-hmm.
and they become 18, but you don't get a continuing tutorship. Now, well, I guess, first of all, continuing tutorship is fairly straight.
It's very easy. It's very straightforward.
For being a legal procedure,
right.
Easy.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, what you'd have to do is petition the court.
Right.
Attach the medical records, maybe an IEP from school.
Right.
And then you submit it to the judge. And they normally, if it's compelling enough, they'll normally just sign it and
correct.
Send it back. And
I don't know if I've ever had a hearing, unless I had two parents contesting. I had one parent contesting.
Or they might call you in if they're concerned about whether the conditions, to the extent where...
Yeah, rise to the occasion.
Yeah, to the continuing tutorship. But also, you would have... What would be the alternative if, let's say, you had someone with severe autism who really can't communicate, turns 18 years old?
The alternative is an interdiction, which is a much more complicated process, a much more expensive process.
Yes, because for interdiction, what you'd have to do is petition the court.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd have to
appoint an attorney for the proposed interdict or the child.
And a lot of times, some courts will appoint a doctor to conduct mm-hmm. an examination, which costs a couple thousand
right.
dollars too. And then you have to have a trial.
Right, and then depending upon who the attorney is, sometimes you get one that, you know, has their own thoughts on things, and it can make it extremely complicated.
Well, we had a severely we had a severely autistic child who had trouble communicating.
Right.
And they were appointed a curator, and they didn't get a continuing tutorship. So they had gone through the government services, and finally someone said, we can't talk to you until you get a interdiction. We couldn't do a power of attorney because the because he didn't have capacity
right.
to do it. So with, one of the things that happened, which was sort of interesting, judges appoint curators. They either appoint, you know, maybe people who have supported them or, you know, attorneys who express a desire to you know, be curators. But also they appoint young people, young lawyers out of school.
Right.
And so we had happened to get a young lawyer who was for her first case. And she was sort of one of those nice young lady, I said it right, who was, you know, sort of a, we call a bleeding, you know, well, I guess sort of like a bleeding heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she interviewed him, she said, he won't be able to get married. And we're like, yeah. And so we had to contest that issue
right.
with the judge, whether he would be granted an interdiction because he couldn't, his child couldn't marry. And the judge was very nice and patient, a lot more patient than I was.
Right.
But,
so I remember now, that case.
Yeah, you remember that case because I complained about it. But so my point in saying that is an interdiction is probably cost 4 or 5 times more than a continuing tutorship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that. I hear the music.
I do hear
and
the music.
And not our cat. Will you put the cat out?
I put the cat out.
You going to keep it out for a while?
I'm going to keep it out all day.
You know, if it's up to me, he would never come back.
Bono.
Huh?
She loves you.
Yeah, but that's not mutual. So I tolerate the cat.
I wish she'd sit on my lap. I like her.
No. Cats, you see, cats are like, the more you ignore them, the more they like you.
Dogs have owners. Cats have servants. That's just the way it is.
Jeez. All right. Well, keep that. All right. We'll keep that cat outside for at least another hour and a half. All right. Well, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demmer, Cinceri, All Things Legal. Okay. Just before we get to our Ms. Cleon on the phone, before we get to that, our daughter, who's an attorney at the law firm,
mm-hmm.
Katie, she texted us last night about 9:30. She says, I'm stuck in the elevator.
No, we never did hear back. Is she out?
Well, and then she basically texted the next hour and said, I'm stuck in the elevator or something. She's, I'm still
she's
stuck.
At the fire department. On the
fire right. department. And you know, the well, I'm not going to get into response time.
Go
I'm not even going to go there. And say Orleans Parish response time, fire department. But so we hadn't heard from them all night. So, you know, we were wondering if the COVID cutbacks in the fire department and NOPD, is she still there? And but anyway, she did check in.
Oh, just now?
I saw her come across on the feed. For
oh,
the,
okay,
So apparently, unless she's watching it from the elevator.
She could be.
So, Katie, if you're listening, let us know if you're watching from the elevator, and we can get a little better on that response time for, you know, for Orleans Parish. But if you are letting us know so we can tell your clients they can keep their appointment tomorrow.
Or whether she'll be here today.
Oh, yeah, she's supposed to be Easter today, so. There you go. We just wanted to say that was good news. And let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Ms. Cleon from Pearl River. Hey, Ms. Cleon, you and All Things Legal. Happy Easter.
Good morning.
Happy Easter to you. Also, good morning, and thank you for all the help that you give people. The reason I'm calling is that I thought you might want to add
okay.
to what you were discussing about taking care of children. Holding gave me time to get. I don't have the date of publication. This is a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
but I saved a copy of the article cautioning parents about when their kids turn 18, especially if they are far from home in school, that you better have a health care power of attorney, an authorization for financial power of attorney, and an education record released because the horror story is about these folks who drop their kid off somewhere out of town mm-hmm. to, you know, at the beginning of a term and didn't hear from her for days and School couldn't tell them anything because she was an adult. They said, call the hospital. The hospital couldn't tell them anything because she was an adult. And she'd been in a coma because she was bit by a spider. But, well, of course, and especially this educational release. Wow. If I had a kid that I was putting through college who didn't want to sign permission for me to see the grades, I'd just be asking him how he was planning to pay for his college.
You might want to enlighten
folks on that.
Ms. Cleon, that is wonderful, wonderful advice.
Yeah.
That when you do send your kids off to college, it's good to get that authorization to get their medical records. It's good to get a power of attorney so you can get their financial records. And you know what? If you're paying for it, you get power of attorney for everything else, too.
I know that when we registered two of our kids for LSU and then one for Samford, they did it online. And so that was a requirement for us to be able to pay their tuition bill. So I know the schools do that. And then so we wound up doing one online for them.
But, Ms. Cleon, that is excellent advice for parents who are going to, mm-hmm. especially going to send their children off to college in about 4 or 5 months.
Sure.
And you're exactly right. And Ms. Cleon, you there still?
So much yes.
And
yes,
also
I am.
Too, well, we have a policy in the show that if you give it good, we always send in people bills, and we think this ought to be fair. Okay. So
yeah.
when callers give us good advice, we have a policy that you can bill us, and I'll give you Albert's address, personal address. To send a bill and do what Albert does to others. Just, bill high. And I'll make sure he'll pay
it.
In return,
I will. You remember several days back when it was down in the 20s overnight?
Yes, I do. Yes.
It was so cold. The attorneys had their hands in their own pockets.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah. That's cold. That's cold. My favorite is. You see, thanks, Ms. Cleon. My favorite is, how do you tell that an attorney got run over by a car?
No
skid marks.
Happy Easter.
All right. See you. Thanks so much. I have to say, I digress again.
Today.
I know. I'm on a roll. I had an attorney. Some attorneys listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an attorney scold me.
For what?
Making lawyer jokes. He said it denigrates the profession. It just perpetrates a stereotype. And I'm like, truth is defense to everything. But, I'm just kidding. So I love lawyer jokes. I think they're hysterical.
They are funny. You can't take offense.
We had a show that we implored the Carls to give us your best lawyer joke.
Oh, really? That's fun.
We did that several years ago.
That's fun.
Maybe April Fool's was 3 days ago. Maybe we'll do that when there's sort of a quiet, a little quiet period.
Yeah.
Or they can call today and give you best.
Yeah.
Except Dan. Dan's the one who does the dirty jokes on Sunday mornings.
Yeah,
I say, we can't have any dirty jokes on Sunday mornings.
No.
So, Dan, everybody but you. And he's probably listening. So, all right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. We're back. And also, all jokes are underwritten by
you.
Better for worse, huh?
For better for worse.
All right, let's go to phone lines. Let's go to Dan. Hey, Dan, you on All Things
Legal? Did you know that was me on the phone?
No, I did not. I did not. That was telepathically. Because I'm like, inviting someone to tell jokes. And I was like, oh no, Dan's gonna call, but that's why I had to put the disclaimer out. They have to be clean.
I called them. You owe me an apology.
Are you offended? Are you offended? Is that what it is?
Listen, keep quiet a minute. I call to wish you and your beautiful wife a happy and blessed Easter. My favorite holiday. I don't like Christmas as much as I do Easter.
Oh, yeah.
For my religion and for the good food.
That's
all I thought about. Also, pay you a compliment for what you did for me.
I spoke
to you during the week, and I want to tell our audience you were very nice to me during the week and gave me very good advice, and I appreciate it.
All right, Dan. Well, thank you. You're easy to be nice to.
Thank you, but not let's get to business.
All right.
I knew it was coming.
My daughter, my granddaughter, goes to Nichols, and she's, what do you call it, the helper on a football team.
Oh, she, yeah, for Coach Rebo. She is a trainer.
A trainer.
Our manager. Exactly. Our manager, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, she's a trainee manager. Right. And they promised them that they, besides the pay, by the way, it was about 30 cents an hour that they built the
Sure.
And, but if they won the game, you know, the big game, they'd get a gold ring. Mm-hmm. So Nichols won the, whatever, you know, I'm not good at sports. I'm good at jokes. If they won the big game, they'd get their gold ring. But 2 years in a row now, they have won the, you know, the championship, and they have never given them their gold ring. Do we have any recourse?
Probably. There's probably not recourse because there's no contractual right to give a gift. And so I would – there wouldn't be legal recourse. But, you know, probably not.
Can we get in touch with the Alumni Association or something like that and say, hey, cheapskates, get off here, you know what?
Well, you know, that you could, or you could, you know, you could go to, I guess you go to, you know, you could go to the top and find out. I do know this, that there's scarce resources down there for the athletic programs. And you see, one of the things, most athletic programs do not make money. LSU does. Tulane probably. I don't know if Tulane does or not. Most of them don't. Now, they do it in order to keep the profile for the university, and it's a good PR tool, but it's almost like you're paying advertising to keep you competitive. So there's not a legal requirement to do that, because it's an interesting thing. Like when the Saints won the Super Bowl, you know, where do you stop giving the Super Bowl ring? You know, at what point in the organization do you say, okay, you can get one, but you don't get one? I'm talking about administrative staff, you know, or maybe, you know, interns, you know, part-time trainers, volunteer trainers, and that sort of thing. So anytime that you win that type of championship in, you know, an organization, there's always a demarcation as to, you know, where do you stop with the prize? A prize. So, is she still a trainer there right now?
Yeah, she's got 2 more years.
Well, I Coach Rebo is a he's done. She's getting good training because that's a good program. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very Nichols State. It's a very, very good program, and I think Coach Rebo's probably one of the best coaches in Division One AA in the nation. No question about it, because he's taken Nichols State from, you know, it was flat in his face, and now they're, you know, they're competing for championships. So she's in a good place to learn her, you know, learn her trade.
Most cheapest too, huh? I mean,
yeah. All right, well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Dan, as a favor to you, when I run into Coach Rebo again, which may not be too long.
Go ahead. I got one quick for you.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, a guy was before the judge for rape.
Okay. Oh, my goodness.
The judge I know you don't have a button, so it's not that.
Yeah. I don't have a home button.
The judge looks at the woman and says, "Miss, you know, you're twice as big as this gentleman. How could he rape you?" She said, "Judge, I rape easy."
Oh, dude, I missed the last part, and you know what, Doug? Why don't you call me, Dan? And tell me privately, and we'll do it. Dan, you have a blessed and a happy Easter, and so we're finished hour number one on this Easter edition of All Things Legal. We'll be back in a few minutes for hour number two. Stay tuned for national news, local news. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. See you for hour number two. Hey, we're back for hour number two. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers, Cinceri, All Things Legal. Give us a call, 260-1870. And we're also streaming live on Facebook on our law firm Facebook page, our personal Facebook page. Just check us out. Before we get to Tommy and Kenner, quick sports. McNeese State played Nickel State yesterday. And McNeese State 143-31. You know who's the coach of, I mean, who's the quarterback for McNeese State?
Your friend's child?
No, that's ULL.
Oh.
Cody Ogeron.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So it's the son's quarterback, and they beat, now they had Coach Rebo coaches Nickel State.
Right.
And so, but the quarterback for, now here's a little interesting. The quarterback for Nickel State is Lindsey Scott. Lindsey Scott originally signed with LSU.
Yeah, I thought that was familiar.
And his father was Lindsey Scott from the Florida.
Yes, I need that.
From the Florida Georgia game, I think from 1981, 80, with Herschel Walker, where he caught an 87-yard pass. Now, Lindsey Scott now is an attorney in Baton Rouge.
Yes.
His father. So there you go. Congratulations to McNeese State. And so I'm a Coach Rebo fan. I'll Nickel State. He does a great job. And I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. We'll see. And also, LSU spring practice, looking like Max Johnson might be the man.
Really?
He can run and pass. He's not. The other two quarterbacks, they're very good. Brennan and the big skates. The one from Ponchatoula.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like Max Johnson's got an edge so far.
So he's going to be the.
Well, we don't know. There's a long way to go. It's just it's we're in the middle of the first quarter first furlong of a 8-furlong race. You know.
Gotcha.
So, all right. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Tommy and Kenna. Kenna, bro. Hey, Tommy, on all things legal.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy
Easter, Tommy.
I had two sports topics to talk about in a law question, but now I'm down to one because you just stole my thunder with the McNeese game.
Oh, did you? Who are you, McNeese or Nickel State?
McNeese, Nickel State. Yeah, you just stole my thunder on that one.
Who are you, a McNeese guy or Nickel State?
Neither. I saw the highlight to the games on the news late last night.
Gotcha. All right. There you go.
I'd like to give a shout-out to Southeastern and Coach Selfo. They put it on Lamar last night, so they still in the hunt for the playoffs for the Southland Conference.
Yeah, they play Nickel State next weekend in Thibodaux, right?
Yeah. I think they're both last regular season games. But Nichols was eliminated.
They were eliminated. Okay, right. So they're out. All right.
Yeah. But my question is, I got an old truck in my driveway, and I keep getting knocks on my door to buy it. And they always offer me cash. And is it legal for me to sell my truck to an illegal?
No, it's not.
Well,
I mean, you
got
to get a title.
Right?
Well, I'm saying that is if I'll put it to you this way, if he can take title, then it's probably not enforceable. That's a good question because undocumented workers, do work now. And it's not illegal to do that because, like, if they have workers' comp claims or whatever, they're availed all the rights of Louisiana laws. That's an interesting question. I would say if they have the ability to take title, I don't think it's per se illegal or enforceably illegal.
Yeah, they had to do it because I don't know if it's legal. It's tempting because they offer cash, but, and I don't mean the stereotype, but I can tell it's illegals.
would they need, typically when you take title, you need some type of photo identification. And
I
was about to say that too, but.
Yeah, but I would say that when you're saying illegal, yes, technically it's illegal. Okay, there's not, it's illegal to hire undocumented workers for for you know, employment. But if you know they're if you do, they're availed all the laws of a of employment. You know, workers' comp, wage you know, wage requirements, that sort of thing. So it's hard to explain because yes, it probably is like for an employer, it's illegal to hire them. Undocumented worker, but if you if they do work, they're availed of all the laws that any other employee is availed of. So, you know, I mean, typically your issue is a title. I mean, if it was just a you know, piece of furniture or something, it wouldn't matter. And so that's what complicates that. So my inclination would be, according to the letter of the law, no, that would not be legal. But I'm sure it's done all the time. That's the best way I can.
Well, not by
it.
Me, because I, you know, I'm worried. You know, they'll wreck, and I sign the title over to them and all that. But anyway,
well, yeah. So yeah, I mean, you know, when you the biggest thing is when you you know, sell a car that's junked or you know, you definitely want to get the title out the name out your name, because it poses all kinds of complications for insurance, and you get a hold of the state and that sort of thing. So. You know,
but that's just it. It's not a junk. It still runs, other than a dead battery.
What I would do is go to a title agency. And,
well, that's
you know,
what I was going to ask you. Direct me to somebody.
I would go to a title agency, and if they produce the proper credentials to buy it, then it's probably okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If the title company will do the transfer, then you're good.
Yeah. So if they you know, it's up to them to screen the proper credentials, and if they
well, you
if
know
they
what
have, yeah.
You think a notary would know?
No. Well, I think that there's a ton of title.
Yeah, I would go to one of those title companies.
They're all over Veterans Boulevard, up and down Williams. You know.
Yeah.
They're all over. So
yeah.
I would go there. Tell them, meet me here. And, you know, and let them produce the paperwork they need to produce. They may have a green card. They may have something else. And it's, you know, let them be the screener to determine whether they have the requisite information to buy the vehicle.
That's what I'm going to do. Okay.
That's probably best. All right, my man. Thanks.
I just want to close with one last thing.
Yeah.
LSU does not need to fire Mineri. They need to fire the hitting coach. Y'all have a great day.
There you go.
Thank you.
You know, it's.
Remember, I came home the other day and I told you I was listening to
Christian.
To Christian.
And they were talking about Mineri. Uh-huh. Well, just real briefly on LSU, I'll give you a quick historical background.
Okay.
When I was at LSU, you were a little after me. We used to go to games to study in Alex Box because it was so quiet. Nobody went, nobody cared. We all spread out our books and watch a little baseball. That's how it might have 500 people to game on a good week. And then Skip took it. What Skip did was, Skip Ertman, he took LSU and said, not only can this could be a moneymaker,
mm-hmm.
and this could be a major college that's financially lucrative and immensely popular, which it has been. And so he took it from 1985 to 2001 and made it that. Then the other universities started emulating Skip. And so now, you know, we're 21 years later, all the, we you know, it's not, LSU is a victim of its own success because all the other programs have emulated what they did. I mean, some people have called LSU baseball the New York Yankees of college baseball, aside maybe from USC or Arizona State or Texas. So, it's tough. I mean, the SEC, it's harder to win the SEC tournament, I think, than the College World Series. Hmm. Or as tough. So, you know, we'll see. But, man, that's, you know, we're so spoiled.
Right.
I mean, heck, for 35 years, I think we've only missed one or two postseason tournaments. And so that's it. But, you know, that's an interesting thing. He was talking about the IDs. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about sports and sports and law. You know, it's very interesting that you have Major League Baseball moving the All-Star game from Atlanta because of the bill,
right.
the Georgia bill. Now, I read the bill as an attorney, and basically The concern is if you're going to have absentee balloting, you need a photo ID attached. Now, we're not going to debate this here. I'm just going to frame the issue, and then I'm going to talk about my issue. The issue is this. Accessibility for voting is people against it versus voter integrity. Mm-hmm. Now, both have moral underpinnings to both. Because if you took it the concept, you want to have voter integrity.
Right.
It's very important. Because without voter integrity, you don't have fair elections.
Correct.
But you want to have accessibility because back, you know, you had poll taxes back before and you had voter intimidation. But now we're in 2021 where that doesn't, you know, that doesn't occur. Now, politicians will argue about this. They'll probably have arguments all week on WWL regarding this. You know, they'll have, you know, meet the press or meet the depressed or whatever. And they'll argue about it. But here's the thing I take issue with is in having an open argument about a legitimate political issue. You have Major League Baseball, major corporations saying, if you don't vote this way, you know, we're going to go, you know, we're going to take our All-Star game away from them. That's very undemocratic.
I mean, that's intimidation too.
Right. Well, that's wrong. I mean, that's 100% wrong because who said that the people who voted for this vote or this law is morally inferior to the people who are against it? Who makes that criteria?
Well, I think if we're going to do away with identification, then don't make me produce an ID when I get on your plane.
Oh, well, ID to get a rental car.
Or to get a rental car, anything. I mean, either you have it across the board or you don't. Well, you can't pick and choose.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, as far as, like, you know, is Major League Baseball think that all the people who voted for the law are like, idiots?
Well, that's what they assume.
That's my point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it's very dangerous for pro sports to do that. Mm-hmm. I think, now I'm not going to refer to the Saints because I'll get in trouble, so I'll just talk about pro sports. Pro sports has been irreparably harmed by taking political positions where they didn't have to do it.
Right.
In fact, you know, before it's just pro sports is entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And it should stay that way.
And entertainment is for people to get away from the political discussions and, you know, having it in your face. They want to just see teams competing. They want to see, you know, you identify with your city. They want it to be a largely positive experience, even if you lose.
Right.
But, you know, to have that and to have that, I mean, what they're doing is they're self-destructing because you have another segment of people who are saying, I'm done with Major League Baseball.
There's a bunch of them that are saying, I'm done with the NBA.
Well, the NBA changed its policy. If you notice this year, they stopped. It's almost like they let the players get it out of the system, and now they stopped doing that because they realized it affected the bottom line. Mm-hmm. It affected the NFL. There's a disenfranchised group of people, and the thing is, you don't need to disenfranchise anybody. And the NFL, Major League Baseball, is not morally superior, generally, than the electorate.
Right.
They can figure it out themselves. Mm-hmm. If you want to, you know, let people debate the idea and then let things, you know, happen. Sometimes they get implemented. Sometimes you get revoked, repealed. It gets amended. But to claim that because you oppose this bill, you're morally inferior and that you should be punished for being morally inferior is a lot more dangerous in any side of that bill.
Well, welcome to what has happened everywhere across the board these days.
Yeah, well, and that's bad because you need to have a full airing of all sides.
Sure.
And you have a full on the ideas, and don't take out the person for saying out the ideas.
And you should be able to have your own ideas. I don't care what side they are, without somebody stopping you.
Absolutely, they did that. They did that about 100 years ago in Russia and about 70 years ago in Germany. And
they're trying to do it here.
And we need to have a full exposition of all ideas on every political spectrum. and not have and not be, you know, morally inferior because you have a certain point of view. Let's go to break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. Happy Easter.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Resurrection Day. Yes, that's the biggie.
It is a biggie.
It's a lot harder to come out the ground than be born.
It is a lot harder to come out.
Christmas, everybody gets born.
That's right.
But, you know, for Resurrection Day, that's well, it's actually a stone. They had a guy, who was it? Mr. Powell, I sat talking about the resurrection, and they had so many aspects, but they had this big, huge stone that was several tons. And it wasn't actually rolled from the grave. It was like
it was placed,
you know, like 30 feet away or something. Right. So they'd say, you know, this wasn't, you know, a bunch of, you know, followers rolling that sucker around.
No.
You couldn't pick it up and lift
it.
Nah. So that's very interesting. So happy Easter. Happy Easter. We're talking a little bit about continuing tutorships and interdictions. And I guess it would be a good time to talk about special needs trusts, supplemental needs trust. Basically, if you have a, you know, I don't know what's in the water here, but there just seems like a lot of kids with, you know, disabilities. And I mean, I remember in grammar school, you had a couple of hyperactive kids, but, you know, the nuns took care of them pretty good. But, St. Angelo. I'm going to be in trouble with
you
that.
You are going to get in trouble,
I meant they would discipline them.
Yeah.
Even though I was sort of scared of them, most of them. Well, couple of them nice.
That's not surprising. Huh? That's not surprising.
I was scared of Sister Julia. Because when I was an altar boy, I told you this.
Was this the one who fussed at you about the donuts?
Yeah, I used to go to Mass. Well, I'd go to Mass at the end of 8:45 Mass, eat about 7 or 8 donuts, then go to 9:45 Mass and come back and eat about 7 or 8 donuts. And she
Did you sleep the rest of the day?
I don't know, man. I think I was just I don't know. But she, you know, she got really mad at me.
I bet she did. You were eating like half the parishioners'
right,
donuts.
Right. So as she did, I just grabbed 3 more of them, donuts stuck in my pocket and left. You know. And I saw it was in like 4 rooms, so I saw like when she go in one room, I'd go in another, so she would for the next week. But anyway, no, St. Angelo was good. Otherwise, I mean, it was great. I ate 14 donuts on Sunday morning.
Yeah, they were providing a good nutrition and breakfast for you.
But what were we going to talk about?
We were going to talk about special needs.
Special needs trust. How did I start talking about stealing donuts at St. Angelo?
Because you're talking about the nuns.
The nuns.
Yeah. And that they would essentially beat it out of them.
Oh, that's right. But now it seems like there's, you know, they've got a whole department of special education. But now one of the things is that if you have adult children who have special needs, the biggest fear of a parent is leaving this earth because nobody's going to take care of their children like they would. And one of the things you can do is, and a lot of them are in government services, or most of them, and what Special Needs Trust does is it allows you to put away money for your special needs child or a child with a disability without losing government services. Right. And that money could be used to enhance their.
Do you do more supplemental needs trust inside of a will, or do you do more standalone?
You know, if it's sort of interesting because most people who worked in corporate America's biggest asset is their 401k.
Right.
And so one of the things would happen, and just for the concept of special needs trust, is if someone's on government services, like you might have, let's say, a 40 or 50-year-old adult child on government services, and they inherit $10,000, let's say, a very modest amount in inheritance, they get knocked off of all government services. They have to show that they spent the money, and they have to get back in line to get on. And so, I mean, we had this horrible situation once where someone was with, I think, cerebral palsy, needed 24/7 care. And the parents wrote that they received a $10,000 inheritance. They had 24/7 care. They had PTAC. They had all these in-house care. They got knocked off for all their government services, and then they had to get back online. It took several years before they could.
And I'm sure the $10,000 was blown
probably a matter of a month. So, but what most people state, their biggest asset now is people who worked in corporate America, a lot of people who worked in the oil industry up and down the river, is their 401k or Entergy. Mm-hmm. You know, worked for 30 or 40 years in Entergy. And so you have to do basically a supplemental needs trust for IRA. And then there's some parents who you might buy a second to die insurance policy from Big Lou or somebody. I don't know. Big Lou. He's on meds, too.
He's on meds, too.
Or, you know, from their insurance agent. And what they, you know, what they'll do is they'll have a maybe a $500,000 benefit, $250,000 benefit dedicated to their special needs trial. And when it's the recipient can't be the special needs trial because that would knock them off government services. So you have to create basically an insurance trust or a trust to do that. Or for annuities, you do a special needs supplemental needs trust. And so a lot of people who have those vehicles, you create the trust, and then you reference the trust in the will,
right,
saying that any money that's coming to the child will go in that trust. Sometimes if they don't have a life insurance trust or they don't have a 401k, then you'll create the trust inside of a will.
Right.
Now, I've just given you about a two-hour explanation that we normally give in about 3 minutes, but that's probably as succinctly as we can say. But
yeah, so essentially it's just a vehicle by which a child can receive money, you know.
Or benefit
from without being knocked off of their
government services. Right. And so, and it doesn't, you know, you can put as basically as much money as you want in there.
Right.
I mean, there's so it's very I'll say this unofficially, and I'm saying this is anecdotal, but parents with special needs children seem to live longer than parents who don't, only because in that parent's mind, it's like, nobody's going to take care of my child like we will. And my greatest fear in leaving this earth is, what will my child be taken care of?
Right.
Or my adult child be taken care of while I'm gone? And so a lot of times this extra money in the special needs trust will help offset or enhance their lifestyle, especially since they're, you know, the parents of the caretakers aren't going to be there.
Right.
So it's, you know, but there's, you know, a lot of great organizations. You know, if you have children or adult children, Family Helping Families, mm-hmm, is a great organization to help with, you know, all kinds of navigating the government fund. Because there's a lot of benefits out there that you just, or services that people don't know about.
Yeah, that you just have to figure them out and do your research.
And, you know, and we struggle. You know, a lot of times we have to, you know, create, you know, children are left with inheritances, and we have to do some things.
Some quick tap dancing to try to get it.
To get it around. Yeah. Now, there's two types. Now, people say, well, I don't want to do special needs trust because I have to give the money back to the government. And that's not necessarily true, depending on what type of trust. If it's a third-party trust, which means you get, like, inheritance from a third party or a death benefit from a life insurance policy or annuity benefit upon death, that would be a third-party trust. It comes from someone else. That would not be repayable to the government.
Right.
And you could have an alternate beneficiary. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you had $500,000 in a trust and something happens to the special needs beneficiary, they'd have a provision, well, it goes to another family member.
Well, and the problem, if you don't set it up ahead of time, what we've had is we've had a child inherit, and then we're trying to come in the back door, and it winds up being a first-party trust because they already received the proceeds or received the money. And so where it could have been a third-party trust,
right,
it becomes a first-party trust.
Most of the first-party trust that we do is, let's say you had a person with a disability who got in a car wreck. They were a passenger, and they got a settlement,
mm-hmm,
you know, for X.
I do a lot of them for child support.
Yeah.
Because child support can be owed to somebody over the age of 24 have disability.
Well, tell a lot of people don't know that. Parents who have children who are
considered disabled under the laws of Louisiana, child support does not end. It continues, and dependent upon the disability, it can continue for life. And so I'll do special needs trust for that, so that those monies go into a special needs trust. And that does become a first-party trust. But if you just limit the amount of money that's put in there, you just don't put anything else in there.
Right.
and you use that every month, mm-hmm. you're not going to wind up with a nest egg that you're giving back to the government.
Yeah, yeah. So those are, you know, if you have children who have those issues, you know, ADHD, autism, some type of physical disability, some type of impairment, they're on government services, they're on SSI, it's probably very important to you know, make those plans. And there's a little to do, but if you do it, it does alleviate some of your fear as a right. parent about, you know, your children being taken care of. All right, let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal on our Easter edition of All Things Legal. Now, we had Eugene text in on our Facebook, and the essence of the text is, you know, I was referencing our cat.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm not a real animal lover.
Just put it mildly.
Is that mildly?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
you take very good care of them.
I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I'm mature. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a big, but he was wondering, could our cat identify as a rabbit on Easter?
I don't think our cat's a trans rabbit.
A trans rabbit?
No,
he's not? Okay.
No, I think she's a cat.
She's happy being a cat.
She's happy being a
cat. She's secure being a cat.
She's very secure in her catness.
Even on Easter.
Even on Easter.
Because, you know, the cats are just, they're like, the more you ignore them, the better they like you. Which is, maybe I'll start liking the thing, it'll leave me alone.
That cat, you are the cat's favorite person.
Oh, jeez. I tell you, you know when I like the cat best?
What?
When it's outside. And staying outside. All right. Cat law. Okay. I got in trouble. I tell you, I shouldn't say it. I remember I went about 30 years ago when I had a little flip mouth. Uh-huh. I was sitting in court. Should I say this?
What?
I don't know.
Do I know this story?
Well, I was sitting in court.
Uh-huh.
And, okay, I was young, so people get mad at me. I'm just relating my immaturity.
Okay.
Well, there was someone sitting next to me in court, and mm-hmm. we were just all striking up a conversation. It was mm-hmm. before COVID, where we could sit next to each other and communicate.
And everybody could have their own opinions.
And have their own opinions. But she had said, what kind of law you did? And I told her. I said, what kind of law you did? She goes, animal rights law. I'm like, okay, I'm just out of school.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's easy. They don't have any rights. We got dominion over them. I was just kind of sort of kidding.
Yeah. But
No, she wasn't kidding. No.
Was she there on behalf of the rights of a cat or
no,
something?
No, she was doing something to make money in between, you know, practicing some kind of law to make money. Since it's Easter, Katie, our daughter, was stuck in the elevator last night.
Did she get out?
She read our text. Oh, there's that cat in the window. Get away. She read our text at 8:04.
Last night?
This morning.
Oh.
Like, are you out the elevator? And she read it. And she hadn't.
Maybe she's not out.
And I said, are you out? And she hadn't responded.
Maybe she's not out.
So, well, you know, if... I guess at the end of the show, if she's not out, I might tell people to call before their appointments tomorrow to see if she...
Well, no, she shows up today.
So we hope Katie's out.
Or at least I hope they served her breakfast in there.
Right. Well, if she's still there, we're going to have a discussion on response time in Orleans Parish first responders if she's still in there next week. We have a great topic. So do we? I guess we talk something fun. This is Easter.
This is Easter.
I don't know if people want to get real serious or not on law. You know. Mm-hmm. You know. Well, you know. One thing I do want to say.
What?
I've been on. I think I'll be on every day, on Tommy's show, the morning show for the Derek Chauvin trial.
Oh yeah, you know, and you're doing a great job on that too.
Well, I sort of got some interesting feedback. I'm just going on there, looking at the scoreboard, and saying. What I think what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not my opinion. My opinion is to who's making good points and not good points.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not, you know, I don't have a dog in that hunt.
Right.
But, it's sort of an interesting issue because the more I read on it, the more I think this is there will be a conviction, at least at least for negligent homicide or manslaughter, one or two. Because I think the key to that case was the fact that, and I get the part about resisting arrest. He's a big guy, was obviously under the influence, and it's correct. And you, it's a little different than the split second conditions, like the Sterling, the one in Baton Rouge. Police officer had just a second to make a decision, and you can't second guess that, because somebody's reaching down there, or non compliant. That's one thing. Now, one thing that the issue is this is it's not the big racial issue that everybody's making it to be. I mean, it's people have other agendas. All the issue is in the courtroom is the appropriate use of force when someone resists arrest. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Everybody, a lot of people, all sides want to make it about something else. On the law enforcement side, they'll say, well, he resists arrest, so therefore he anything could happen to him.
Right.
That's on one side, which is wrong. The other side was saying, that this is all about, a societal issue that this manifests all the time. And I said, no, that's not the issue in this case. The issue is the appropriate use of force when you resist arrest. And I think the biggest thing from a scoreboard standpoint, why he's probably going to lose, is he has his own fellow first responders testifying against him.
Yeah.
Got a supervisor, EMTs.
How many people were on the scene? Because I didn't watch the video.
Quite a few. And I think the people on the scene were like, okay, you got him down. I think the two things that's going to convict him is his action after he became non-responsive. One, it could have turned him over to let him breathe when he was non-responsive. And two, that they continued to exert the pressure on his neck after he was unconscious. And I think those are the factors that's going to convict him.
Yeah.
And the defense really doesn't have a lot to work with it. But my only thing saying this is when I'm commenting, I'm just looking at the scoreboard. I mean, everybody's got personal opinions about everything, but this is.
When do they anticipate that the prosecution will rest?
I don't know. The other thing, too, and I used the example, I said, when Bum Phillips had Earl Campbell, he used to run him.
Mm-hmm.
Run him all, and because that was his guy. The same thing if you got prosecution. If you got a videotape like that, from a strategic standpoint, you just run it.
Yeah, they're running it every day.
All angles, and that's it, because that's a piece of evidence If they didn't have that videotape, they probably wouldn't have a case.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they would not be. But all right. So let's go to a break. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. We'll be right back after this brief timeout. Hey, we're back. Doug Cinceri, Michelle Demers Cinceri, All Things Legal. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Fred out of Greenberg. I know where Greenberg is. Hey, Fred, you're on All Things Legal.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter, well. Fred.
Okay, I have a money question. If I saved money in my home for over 50 years and then decided that I wanted to put it in the bank, what kind of issues would I run into?
You could put it in there. Anything over, I think, $8,000 or $10,000 is recorded to the IRS. It's no issue to it.
I'm saying it'll be over $10,000, much more than that. But it's been over
figures? More than 100?
No, maybe right out of 100.
I don't think that's a big problem. I mean, I don't think they would have a problem with that. I mean, a lot of payrolls have that. Cash. I mean, not as much. In the older days, they would. I don't think that's not a big deal.
Would I have to prove to them that I saved it over the 50 years or something?
No. I mean, no, I don't think so. I mean, if they ask you, you say, hey, it's just I've saved it for I want to put it in the bank. No, I don't think that would be a problem. I'm not aware of it.
Would it be taxable again?
No. It wouldn't be taxable. I mean, the IRS may record it. I will say this, went back, I know when I did, we used to do the licensing for the Super Bowl and the Sugar Bowl. We used to license to a lot of the French Quarter businesses in the 90s. And a lot of times we get paid, you know, in cash. And, you know, it's no big deal. I think you can do it. I think you'd be more concerned about when you go leave your house to the bank, make sure you're secure. And Fred, you're not from Greenberg. We're going to say you're from Shreveport to throw anybody off so they won't know you got $100,000 in your house.
Okay.
All right? So that's Fred from Shreveport.
I'm from Tuscaloosa then.
There you go.
Yeah, Fred from Tuscaloosa, an Alabama fan, a Bama fan. All right.
Okay, thank you,
Fred. You're okay, my man, Fred. All right, thanks for the call. All right. That's, you know,
an interesting call.
Yeah. I mean, we do have that. In the French Quarter, a lot of shops that used to do business with cash. I think now it's pretty much most of it electronic.
Right.
And I know when we filed suit one time because one of the businesses didn't pay their licensing, and they came in with, you know, four or five bags, and they dropped it on the table. We counted it and put it in the bank. So no big deal. So we got a couple of minutes now. You know, you're like amazing. You're running around. You're doing commercials. You're doing parties, putting presents out. You're getting
Lisa coordinating, when they had to come.
Coordinating. You know, crawfish delivery. So I mean, y'all, you women are something, man. How do y'all do it?
We got about 10 arms.
You do. You got about 10 arms, and
I do have help.
Who?
You. My sister's picking up the crawfish.
Yeah, you do have. But you like the orchestra. Yeah. You like the conductor. Mm-hmm. You got it all going here.
That's what we do.
Yeah, so we got crawfish, right? Got
crawfish. We have crawfish and jambalaya. And if Katie got out of the elevator, we have homemade meatballs. But if she's still in the elevator.
Oh, now that would really bum me out if she didn't get out the elevator. Now, okay, if she's still in the elevator, can we send somebody to get the meatballs? Pick it up and then bring it back?
We're possibly good. So, that's not true, Katie.
No, we're just,
we'd rather you than your meatballs.
Wow, but it's not an either-or question. She can bring them both. Well, who made it an either-or question?
You were so bad.
these false choices here. Jeez.
Oh, you're funny.
But anyway, all right. But we just hope everybody has a wonderful and, safe Easter. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I know you're going to listen to the news, and they're going to tell you, have fun for Easter, okay?
Right.
When you're listening to the news break, have fun, all right? That's most important.
It is.
And don't let all this other stuff get in the way. Just enjoy your family and, you know.
I know, because like last Easter, I was just remembering, it was just us here. Everybody was quarantined.
I tell you what, one place I would not want to be.
Where?
At an Easter party of an employee of the CDC. Huh?
I don't think they're probably having any. Well, you know, they probably bend the rules.
You think?
For themselves?
You think they say it's good for everybody else but us?
Do you really think they're not doing that?
I don't know.
Are you serious?
I don't know.
Huh.
Well, if they're really serious, I mean, you know, we want you to show virtue by denying yourself a good time with your family. That's sometimes what I hear between the lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it is.
My point being, have fun for Easter.
It is.
Enjoy your family.
That's right.
Might be some of your family members last Easter. Mm-hmm. You know,
it could
you never
be.
Know. So you got to enjoy them and celebrate the big day.
That's right.
But so that's good. And I think that's almost a wrap.
That's a wrap.
We got a new out. We got Odyssey is the new they was bought.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're not Intercom anymore, they're Odyssey. So
when did that happen?
That happened last Monday.
They did
the big switch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
If you read my emails, you would do know that.
You sent me an email then?
No, I did not. So, thank you so much for responding and doing a radio show and arranging for our Easter party at the same time. That's
You're
amazing.
Welcome. Happy to do it.
And we just wish everybody out there to have a wonderful and blessed Easter. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the family. Enjoy every aspect of it. We'll see you next week on All Things Legal. Be good and be blessed.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.